This is the Best of the Adam Gold Show podcast, brought to you by Coach Pete at Capital Financial Advisory Group. Visit us at capitalfinancialusa.com. This is the Adam Gold Show.
It's the Adam Gold Show. I'm Adam Gold. V to the Victoria is the producer of this program. Luke Dukakis will join us in 15 minutes from the News and Observer. We'll talk a whole bunch of football, including the challenge in front of NC State coming up on Saturday. That is also tomorrow if you are keeping score at home. Fridays, 1 o'clock, a lot of games to talk about. We can't talk about all of them. We can't spend enough time on all of them. So we give you 60 seconds on every game, and we call it Minute Takes. Shall we begin? Panthers and Giants on the road. All right, here we go. Can I hear the clock? There's the clock. All right, I know Trey Wingo said it earlier, but this is what I had written down, too. Do you want to make playoffs? I mean, I don't believe the Panthers are a playoff team, but the optimistic people out there do. And you ain't doing it without this win. Forget about what the Giants do and Saquon Barkley. Can the Panthers block? Can you give Baker Mayfield time? Can you make Christian McCaffrey a factor? Without blocking, none of those things happen and you lose. No chance. That is the one thing that I will be looking for in this game. Can they block? Victoria, yes. This is your side.
All right. Well, make sure you have the game plan. You stick with it. Let's maybe find our defense that's supposed to be so great. Find McCaffrey. Give him the ball. Quit messing around. Don't drop him. And, you know, maybe we can actually score. Make better decisions when we get in the red zone, please. Thank you. And Ben McAdoo, don't get in your head because you're going back to New York.
Oh, that's right. Well, his hair is already different, right?
It is.
Whatever that hairstyle was. From 1971.
Right.
All right, let's move on. Bucks Saints. Yeah, it's a division game. Panthers should be interested in the outcome. Again, Trey had all sorts of stats on this. You know, whether or not the Saints have beaten Tom Brady in the regular season four straight times or not. Only team to have not lost to Brady in the regular season. And Brady has other issues, like at Miami and things like that, but I think the Saints are flat out good. I think the Saints are good on defense. I think the Saints are good on offense. And if Jameis Winston is good, Jameis, I said this before, I think the Saints are going to win the division. And you're not going to win the division without winning this game. So, Saints getting 2.5 points at home? I kind of like that. Yeah, I think the Saints win the game. I think the Saints win the game outright. I think the Buccaneers offensively are not yet where they need to be, but I don't think this will be a high-scoring game. All right, we're going to start our college football tour at Kid Brewer Stadium. Let's go. Troy at App. Mountaineers are a 12.5-point favorite over Troy. Real quick, by the way, the game is on ESPN Plus. If you have ESPN Plus, I do. I can watch it. I'm not bragging. I just do for whatever reason. Gunnar Watson is Troy's quarterback. Troy's not a pushover. There are very few teams in the Sun Belt that are pushovers. They play good football in that league, people. Gunnar Watson can throw it. They got a bunch of wide receivers who can catch it. And out of the backfield, Kamini Vidal is a good running back. This is a throw-first team, but they will run it. This game will be dictated by App. I always worry about Chase Bryce. There's always the Chase Bryce moment. They couldn't overcome it against Carolina.
But hey, maybe Luke Combs will help him.
That's right. Luke Combs making picks. I'm sure he's going to pick App.
Yeah.
I bet he picks App minus 12.5.
Going out on a ledge there, but I think you're right.
Oh, my gosh. All right. Wake Forest is at home to Liberty. Demon Deacons are a 16.5-point favorite. All right. The quarterback is gone, right? Malik Willis, he's gone. He's in the NFL. Tennessee, bet he becomes a starting quarterback, by the way, for the Titans sooner rather than later. Wake got Sam Hartman back last week, piled up a bunch of points against Vanderbilt. I think they'll do the same, but here's the thing. Liberty, even without the old guy, still pretty good. They got a lot of players. They beat Southern Miss. Southern Miss gave Miami fits. I don't think this game will be as easy as people think. I think Wake will cover the 16.5, but I think it will not be until late in the game in which they do that. I think this game has all the makings of being entertaining. Liberty's a different team, though, this year. They are going to run it more than they will throw it. Boom. Blow it up. All right. We might not do a full minute on this one. NC&T at Duke. A&T lost to Central. I like the fact that Duke is playing this game, even though I'm not in favor of FCS and FBS games. I like when Duke does this because, frankly, Duke needs wins. That's not a guarantee, by the way, that they're going to beat NC&T, but the Blue Devils certainly do look like a much different outfit this year than they have in the last few years. And I am a David Cutcliffe fan. Everybody knows how much I defended him. I thought he should have named his own exit at Duke, but he obviously wasn't going to name it. So they named it for him. But I like the makeup of this Duke team. I think Duke will go to 3-0. Moving on. Texas Tech at NC State. As I said earlier, what you going to be? Does NC State want to be the team that is going to be a legit player nationally? Now, if you lose the game, which it's losable, I hate to break that to you, it is losable. If you lose it, you can still win at Clemson a couple of weeks from now. But I also think if you lose it, it's an indicator. And all of these things are indicators. A lot of people thought that the opener at ECU was an indicator. They may be right. I am going on blind faith that it isn't. Because if that was an indication, then Texas Tech is going to be really hard. And you're probably, as it was told to me, I think on this show, they looked like an 8-4 team that day. I don't want to hear that. So I'm going to say that was week one. See if the Wolfpack. By the way, Texas Tech is a throwing team. And I'm not sure that helps the Wolfpack or not, to be perfectly honest. All right, Campbell's at East Carolina. Again, this is probably won't go a full minute on this. But Campbell isn't terrible, right? Campbell beat the Citadel to start the season. Lost to William & Mary after that. Campbell's moving up in class as well. I think they're going from the Big South, if I'm not mistaken, to the Colonial next year. Mike Minter is kind of dragging that team up slowly but surely. But I liked everything that I saw in the opener from East Carolina, and they were impressive again against Old Dominion. I don't think ECU will have any trouble. You play your starters for about 2.5 quarters, then you get them out, and then you get ready for what's next. All right, moving on, because we got 3 more games in less than 2 minutes. Florida State at Louisville. Louisville's a 2.5-point home favorite. This is probably heart rather than head here. But I'm going to bank on Florida State being not back, but closing in on it. And if that's the Florida State team that we've got, they win this game. But I think it's low scoring. I don't remember what the over was, but I think we're going to be in the low to mid-20s max for this game. Give me Florida State on the road. All right, moving on. Miami is at Texas A&M. Did Miami get beat by App State? If you understand what I'm saying. App goes to College Station, beats the Aggies. Miami's next going, all right, great. Now we have to deal with their anger. I don't know what to make of this because I don't think Miami's wideouts are good enough. But I also think that Texas A&M's offense might be trash. And if that's the case, another low-scoring game, I give them a chance, but I think Texas A&M wins a close, low-scoring game on the road. And that's bad for the ACC, and I hope I'm wrong. All right, finally, Adam Gold in studio with my man, Coach Pete DeRuiter with the Capital Financial Advisory Group. We're talking retirement and coach. I'm a simple guy, but I like colors. Tell me how I can color code money
and get ready for retirement.
I like colors too. I like pictures. Colors. I like graphs. I don't like just a bunch of words. And so what we try to do is we try to break down all those words on your statement, all those numbers into three colors, red, green, yellow. People are amazed when they come in, and most of their money is in the red category.
Yeah, I don't want that.
Now, red means high horsepower potential. It also means high loss potential. So you have to, it's a give and take. You can, they want to do that or that. Yellow means liquid money. You can get it any time. It's not going to earn anything. Green gives you safe growth, but also gives you lifetime income. As we get closer to retirement, we need some green accounts. We need the green zone, we call it. In Baghdad, green zone was important. Green zone's important for you, too. The next 10 people, Adam, it's a $1,000 value. Golden ticket we're going to put together for you, your very own total plan that has a green zone.
It's a traffic light. I hope it's green for you. 800-661-7383 or text Adam to 21000 for Coach Pete DeRuda.
It's football, right?
It is.
Football. Final match of match week. I think this is match week 8 in the Premier League. Brentford hosting Arsenal at G-Tech. Should be a blast. 17,000 strong. Second and third highest scoring teams in the Premiership. Ivan Toney's got 5 goals. Also just got called up to the England national team. Likely going to be on the World Cup roster. It's pretty good stuff. This is a, it's not really a derby. They're both in London, but Arsenal and Brentford don't have a great rivalry, but they're both in London. I think Brentford wins the game.
Sounds like a good one.
I think Brentford wins the game. We haven't seen a Premier League game in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Because the Queen passed away. So I'll take Brentford at home in that one. All right. When we come back, it's 10 football games. Well, 9 games in one match.
Yes.
9 games in one match. All right, your thoughts, State Texas Tech. Texas Tech with a pretty good win last week over Houston.
Yeah, I mean, obviously everyone gets caught up on the record and the one win over Notre Dame and all of that. I feel like, to me, the record that's more applicable here is Dave Doran at NC State's done pretty well as a double-digit favorite.
Okay.
And, you know, the games that NC State has been favored to win, by and large, there are obviously exceptions, by and large, NC State's done a good job in those games. So, you know, this will be a shootout. It's going to be a long game. I mean, we may still be talking about this next Friday. The game may still be going on. But I think this is a game that not just if NC State is the team it thinks it is, but that NC State, even in years where things haven't gone well, has still managed to win this game, this type of game. So I do think that it's really more of that scenario than the sort of Power Five hobgoblin that's always sort of hanging out there. But in general, I mean, I think this is a really good opportunity for NC State to play a team that's got a unique offense. And you know, the coaches change, and Mike Leach and interim coach Ruffin McNeil. And as we continue the Ruffin McNeil tour of
that's
NC
right.
State schedule. But the philosophy, obviously, doesn't change, and it's a night game. It'll be pretty electric, I think. Obviously, Charleston Southern was not a marquee opponent,
no.
But Texas Tech is. Texas Tech is. So there's reason for people to get excited about that. If NC State is the team NC State claims to be, this game should not be troubled. NC State defense should be able to hold down Texas Tech, and their offense should be able to outscore them.
All right, so we thought that was going to be a similar case against East Carolina. As it turns out, East Carolina was this close to upending the Wolfpack and really ruining certainly the start and any, you know, thoughts of a dream scenario for NC State. And this is the way I get to, if that's State, then this weekend is going to be a problem. But if that was week one, then I think NC State will be okay.
Yeah, I threw a couple of things in there with that. For sure, you're right. I mean, I think East Carolina is probably a little better than people were giving them credit for.
I agree.
And if NC State doesn't trip over its own shoelaces twice on the goal line and stops trying to run Jordan Houston between the tackles, NC State scores twice early in the second half. That game's a blowout. We're not having this conversation. Now, you are what you are what the score says you are. So there's no question NC State felt walking off the field very much like it had managed to lose that game. But I think there were some circumstances in that game, some very small sort of butterfly effect type things that would have changed that game dramatically. And now there's also something to be said for playing your worst and escaping with a win in a game you should have lost. If that's the worst NC State plays all year, they'll be okay.
Oh, if that's the bottom, yeah, they'll be in great shape. I prefer to look at it this way. Those two goal line situations. One, the first one was kind of a fluke, Houston fumbling. The second one, they ran basically the same play four times and just couldn't get a push up front. Again, they tried to power their way into the end zone, and this is where I give East Carolina the credit, is that they were up to it. They were better than NC State at the point of attack four straight plays after allowing the run. So I thought that goal line stand, while NC State showed a lack of willingness to expand their offensive repertoire, I thought East Carolina just bowed up and won the game. Let me go to the, or not win the game, but won that battle. Let me go to the Panthers and Giants. Obviously, Sunday was disappointing the way you lost to the Browns, even losing to the Browns, because it isn't Deshaun Watson, it's Jacoby Brissett, but I still think the Browns have enough of a good team that game was always going to be difficult to win. If you don't beat the Giants, then you're probably looking at a 5 or 6 win team, I think. But what are your thoughts about this game going up to East Rutherford, New Jersey, the teeming metropolis?
I mean, this is, again, almost like the opener against the Browns. This is the kind of game the Panthers find a way to lose. And the thing that killed me about the Browns game was they were so close to winning the game they always lose and still managed to lose it. It's almost like the Matt Rule's cluelessness in over his headness is the trump card that overcomes whatever advantages they have. The thing I would be very scared about if I'm the Panthers is obviously Saquon Barkley looked terrific last week. The Panthers looked abysmal on run defense, which is supposed to be, in theory, one of the strengths of the team. Defensively, at least. Maybe they're a better team against the pass.
I think so.
The other part of that is the Panthers, we talk about NC State's goal line stand. Let's talk about another NC State quarterback. If Jacoby Brissett hits three open receivers in the first half, that stadium's empty at the end of the third quarter.
Sure.
I mean, the Panthers very nearly threw that game away in the first half. And if Brissett makes a couple throws that an NFL quarterback should make, then that game is over. Billy Packer over in the first half.
This game is over.
So, I look at the Panthers as a team that talks itself into believing every year that it's going to win 9-10 games and goes out and plays like a team that's going to win four. And I think that comes from the top. You've got a meddling owner, a coach who's in over his head. They looked like 53 guys who met for the first time that morning and went out and played. All this, they messed around, they farted around all training camp instead of just giving Baker Mayfield reps. They went through this whole shenanigan with Sam Darnold.
Right.
We all knew it was going to be Baker Mayfield. And here's what I said at the time. I said, look, I hope they have a plan. I hope they've thought this through. I hope their preseason usage of each quarterback, I hope their training camp reps are all set out in a way to prepare the team for their opener and beyond. And you know what? We have the evidence now that there was no plan. That it was Matt Rule and his new offensive coordinator flying by the seat of their pants, trying to make everybody happy, and he make nobody happy. And instead, Baker Mayfield looks like he's wandered in off the street and was handed a jersey with snaps all over the place. And it was a disaster. It was a mess. And they should have lost by more than they did. And they still somehow, by finally giving Christian McCaffrey the ball once or twice in the second half, found a way to get back in that game and give themselves a chance to win. They screwed that up too. I at this point, Adam, I don't understand how anyone's a Panthers fan. It's like a franchise that just is. Right. I'm telling you, they're pulling a full Costanza. If they had any trophies, they'd be dragging around the parking lot behind a car. But they don't, so they can't. Matt Rule found out the Nebraska job was open and threw that game. There's my hot take.
Panthers or Jets, which franchise is more dysfunctional? All right, couple of quick things about Matt Rule. First of all, their best play from scrimmage through three quarters was a snap that rolled back to Christian McCaffrey. That was the best play they ran all game. The touchdown to Robbie Anderson was nice too. Here's the thing about it. They did look bad, and I agree that we all knew that Baker Mayfield was going to be the starting quarterback, and I don't know why they tried to make a show of, well, Baker's got to come in here and earn it. I thought the only way he wasn't going to be the starter was essentially if he couldn't walk and chew gum at the same time, and I even hate that phrase, and I'm mad at myself for using it. But the other thing about that bothered me about the game, and I didn't hate the way Matt Rule coached. I didn't like the last three plays that they ran because I think you had to pick up, if you had to try to pick up a first down, the dumbest thing you can do in football is think that it's important to make the other team use their timeouts. There's too many ways to stop the clock when you're on offense. Don't worry about that. The best way to run the clock out is to pick up a first down. So they doesn't make a difference how many timeouts they have left. You're going to keep the ball, and then you can score and win. But my problem was after the game in rules saying that I didn't think they could go 40 to 45 yards.
Oh,
in,
that was not. Everything
I'm like,
you
are
said
you kidding me?
Was nonsense. It was pure nonsense.
Like, does he even have a plan going into the postgame?
He's Adam. He's a mid-level college coach who recruits well, who's in so far over his head he doesn't even know where the surface is. And you saw that in his handling of the quarterbacks with some sort of BS, rah-rah, Pop Warner, let the best man win, instead of running this like a professional franchise. And that's your problem. You've got an owner who wants to push every button on his shiny little toy and is managing to do incredible damage in the process. And you've got a head coach who thinks he's coaching, you know, Broughton and wants to make sure nobody's feelings are hurt. It's the NFL. Right. We all know what NFL stands for, right, Hank Stram?
Not for long. That's for Jerry long. Glanville.
Jerry Glanville.
Jerry Glanville. Well, right. I'm sure Hank
Stram was matriculate. Stram was matriculate. Yes. Sorry.
And he was much better dressed than Jerry Glanville. Hank Stram also didn't leave tickets for Elvis.
I can't believe I got that wrong.
It's all right. It makes for good radio anyway. All right, two ACC games I want you to give me a pick on, and then we'll say goodbye. FSU at Louisville tonight.
Over the crossbar, and the Hurricanes have won the Stanley Cup.
June 19, 2006, but it all started May 6, 1997 with the announcement that the Hartford Whalers were coming to North Carolina. It's a story of transition, of heartbreak, of figuring it out on the fly. The Canes Corner look at the 25th anniversary of the move. Presented by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. Listen now. Find Canes 25th anniversary wherever you get your podcast.
I'm selling Louisville short. I don't know whether Florida State, I wrote this in the paper, I don't know whether Florida State is back, all capital letters, but I know Louisville is going the other direction. I will take the Seminoles and like everyone who picked Miami to win the Coastal, right. I'll get burned, but
I actually think Louisville played well at Central Florida. I thought that was a very good win on the road at Central Florida last week. But I am also taking Florida State. This is my heart, not my head. I want Florida State to be competent, and I think if they are competent, they'll win this game. And then, if you're Miami, are you mad at App State for beating Texas A&M the Saturday before you show up at College Station? How do you see that?
I mean, Miami is probably going to find a way to lose this game no matter what happened against App State. I will sell Miami short until the day they get kicked out of the ACC.
kicked out of the ACC?
Well,
expelled?
You know, when they decide that the grass is greener and orange or somewhere else and they leave, whatever.
That's going to be
Pick a team other than Miami. You'll be okay.
2035 by the time before Miami can. The ACC would have to disintegrate before Miami would leave the league. I agree. I think A&M wins this game, but I think it's low scoring. I don't think A&M's got an offense. So
No, Jimbo Fisher hasn't had a quarterback in 12 years, so why would you expect him to start now?
Luke Dukak, you're the man, my friend. I appreciate your time.
Next week, buddy.
You got it. At Luke Dukak on Twitter. We didn't even get to one of the, it's not really a derby, but Brentford Arsenal. Next time.
Oh, next time.
We'll do that. It's halftime.
And now your halftime entertainment.
Well, it's Friday, and you know what that means, Adam?
What is
other than it's Friday?
Movies, what?
Tomorrow is UFC day.
Oh, no,
it's
gosh.
Fight day.
It's so, gosh.
I cannot wait. UFC Vegas 60 is tomorrow. It's an evening fight, so, you know, you don't have to wake up too early. The one in London started at noon last time, so
okay.
If you have time to wait, this is going to be a fun card.
Wait, noon is early?
Yeah, sometimes.
What?
For some of us, for a Saturday, you want to sleep in and, like, well, and plus, some of us people who like to watch fights, we also like to have a beverage, you know.
Well, I like to have a beverage, too. Like, sleeping in to me is like 7.
Okay. Well, it is for me now, too, so I understand that. I understand that. But some people did complain. They did complain, though, that, you know, it's too early. But this one is going to be later. This is going to be such a fun card. There's a lot of fighters who are trying to make a name for themselves with this one, and I can absolutely see this one being one of those crazy knockouts and unexpected victories kind of fight thing. But the main event is going to be between Sanhagen and Yadong. Now, Sanhagen is picked to be the favorite with this one. He comes with a lot of knowledge, a lot of experience. He's extremely long because this is a bantamweight division fight, which these are crazy because they're a little smaller, so they got all this energy. So this should be interesting. He is facing Yadong, who has had 3 straight fights so far where he has won, but he's still young. He's got a lot to learn. So I can definitely see Corey coming out with the win in this one. I'm just excited. It's going to be fight night. I'm such a nerd for this stuff. It's great.
It's not fight day. It's fight night.
Yeah.
Even better. So you can sleep
even
till 3.
Even if it's at noon. I know, right? People punching themselves in the face at like 8 o'clock at night. It's great. Moving on. What's not so great?
Would you rather see a punch knock a guy out or a kick?
Oh, the kicks are always the best. Well, you know what? I take that. I think kicks slightly win just because they're much more difficult to land accurately. There's buttons on people's faces that will just done. So, yeah, kicking is definitely more difficult. So, I guess I'd have to go with that one. Just, you know.
It's funner.
It's more funner. But this is not fun. There might be trouble in paradise for Tom Brady and his wifey.
No.
I know there was speculation, but it might actually be true because there was an interview with his wife where she said she has some concerns because this is a very violent sport and I have my children and I would like him to be more present. I have definitely had those conversations with him over and over again, but ultimately I feel that everyone has to make a decision that works for them. He needs to follow his joy too.
Okay, so this is the last year.
Yes,
100%. This is the last year. Last year was supposed to be the last year.
Uh-huh.
But he just can't yet.
No.
But this is the last year.
Gotta be.
It's the last year for something. So
whether it's marriage NFL career.
Or it's that.
It's
the last year for something.
Yes.
I think it's the last year for Brady playing.
Exactly. So, with you.
Doesn't mean it's the last year for him being involved, because I do think that his future, well, we know his future is going to be on TV with Fox.
Absolutely.
I don't know how long he's going to do that, but. By the way, I mentioned this on another show. I was on with Josh Graham in Greenville.
Oh, yeah.
In the Triad last week. And Josh, he did a bit on which NFL broadcast crew, top crew, do you like the best? And he left out Kevin Burkhardt and Greg Olson.
Oh.
And for my money, and there are a lot of good ones. And Buck and Aikman's good, by the way.
They are.
And we didn't talk about it because it was their first Monday night game this past Monday. I'll hit that in a second. But I think Burkhardt and Olson are great. Burkhardt is very good. And Olson is elite at it, I believe. And I don't think we're going to see Olson out of the booth as much as I think we're going to see Brady added to the booth.
Yes.
Because I think Olson's too good. I don't think they're going to mess around with it. Leave Olson where he is.
I know I'm biased, too.
I know.
You know. Panther fan, but he is good. I like him a lot.
Was he wearing the toque, the knit hat?
Oh, he should. Boot? He should.
Always. Like, didn't make a difference. It's 85 degrees
in
doesn't August.
Matter. Tank top and his little hat. Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Oh, man. Well, summer may be over, so there's no need for you to work on that beach bod anymore. Sunday is National Cheeseburger Day. And there's places you can get free cheeseburgers.
Really?
Yes.
Sunday's National Cheeseburger Day. That's good. We'll have to consider that for dinner.
I know.
Where can you get free cheeseburgers?
So there are numerous places, but most of the areas have McDonald's, Burger King, and Wendy's are all, like, you know, the top 3.
Oh, okay.
So I think you have to purchase something, but you also get a free burger with it. So take the fam.
A free cheeseburger.
Look at them go. Okay,
you know what? That's fine.
Yeah. And it's on the weekend. That's when you should be eating cheeseburgers anyway. Maybe if you stay up late watching fights and drinking some beverages, you need a burger the next day.
You need it. You soak it all up.
Right?
That's where you get a greasy breakfast. That's where you end up at.
Oh, yes.
A place like Waffle House or something like
Always.
That.
Always. Yeah. Oh, you got to go to Waffle House.
So do you watch fights in groups of people?
So there's actually a funny meme about this. I am one of those nerdy people where I get real into sports when I watch them. Mm-hmm. It's a little embarrassing.
Okay.
So I typically do not. But I'm down to. I
really?
Used to watch with friends all the time. But I think they're over it, and I'm still stuck around.
Do you throw things?
No. That's football. When I watch the Panthers, I usually want to throw things.
You throw things.
But I don't want to buy a new TV either, so I stopped doing
that. Well, you got to throw soft things.
True. Yes.
Well, we talked about Nerf yesterday, right?
Exactly.
Keep Nerf products in the house.
Yeah, I know. Throw cotton balls or something. Something soft where if it hits it, it's whatever.
Perfect.
It's fine.
That would be great.
Well, and last thing. What do you think the secret of happiness is? To happiness.
The secret of happiness.
Yes.
Probably a beverage.
Oh, there you go.
No, it's not. I don't want to set that example for the kids, because it's not. The secret to happiness is ice cream.
Ooh. You can't be mad when you're eating ice cream.
No, by the way, dark chocolate peanut butter Breyers shocked me how good it was.
Oh, really?
Yeah, very good.
Oh, I have to try that one.
By the way, there's no, if you're going to have like dessert,
mm-hmm.
if it's not chocolate or carrot cake, which is a favorite of mine,
yes.
What are you doing?
Yeah.
My kid had a birthday cake yesterday. He wanted a white cake with white icing. I'm like, who raised you?
Where'd you come from?
My wife put, because she calls him Worm. Why, I don't know, but she calls him Worm. She put, like, gummy worms on the side of the cake.
Oh, look at her.
It was adorable.
Being all sentimental.
But it's a white cake.
So you had none at
My
all?
My child. Oh, I did. I had to put the ice cream on it.
Oh, there you go. And makes it all better.
Exactly.
It does. It's like put cheese on something that tastes bad. It makes. No, apparently the secret to happiness is not money, which is usually people's first
of
thought.
Of course not.
It's gratitude.
Okay.
How cute is that?
I like that.
But it's true, though. Be grateful for things. Like, if someone opens a door for you, say thank you.
Oh, my gosh. How many people walk after you open the door, they just walk through? I'm sorry. You were entitled to have that door
exactly.
open for you, weren't you?
Madam, let me open this. Or when you're on the road and you, like, let someone in and they don't throw the hand up, you got to throw. Come on. Throw the hand up.
Oh, yeah. See, about on things like that on the road. I don't know why Jeep drivers do this. Jeep drivers, I drive a Jeep.
Mm-hmm.
A Wrangler. Forget about a Jeep Cherokee or anything. I drive a Wrangler. Jeep drivers always, hey, cheese guns. They
yeah.
always do that.
Oh.
And you know what? I don't reciprocate.
No.
You know why? Because I don't know who you are.
Exactly.
You might be an axe murderer, and I am not going to justify that just because you drive a Jeep.
And that's your signal, it's go time.
And my son's sitting in the front seat going, Dad, why didn't you wave back? I said, because I don't know that person. That's why.
Right.
If I knew that person and I liked that person, I would wave. But I am not waving. If you see me in a Jeep and you wave to me because you're driving a Jeep,
right.
I am probably not waving back. Don't be offended. I don't know who you are.
You know what other drivers, actually I should say riders, do this?
Motorcycles,
because I used to back in the day.
Oh, did you?
I did, and we do a thing, and well, I don't do a thing
anymore.
Was it
cheese guns?
No, you point down. Mm-hmm.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, but it's not, keep both hands on, because people drive crazy, so watch out for the motorcyclists.
Yes, I've never been on a motorcycle, ever.
It's a lot of fun.
I drove a moped when I was in high school.
That's close.
Yeah, I had a helmet.
Yeah.
I had a helmet.
It's close enough.
Yeah, pedaling, though, to get that thing started was bad.
This is the Adam Gold Show.
Over the crossbar, and the Hurricanes have won the Stanley Cup.
June 19, 2006, but it all started May 6, 1997 with the announcement that the Hartford Whalers were coming to North Carolina. It's a story of transition, of heartbreak, of figuring it out on the fly. The Canes Corner look at the 25th anniversary of the move. Presented by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. Listen now. Find Canes 25th Anniversary wherever you get your podcasts.